Okay, could you say when you were born and the date?
Yes, I was born January 15th, 1915, 15 minutes after 12 midnight.
Okay, and how many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one brother, one sister.
And where were you born?
I was born in Princeton, Wisconsin.
And how long has your family lived there?
My family lived there before I was born by a couple years. I would guess about 1913. And still members of my family are there now.
And who is still there now?
My brother and his wife are still living in Princeton.
And they have a family there too?
The family is grown now, but their family was brought up in Princeton, went to Princeton High School. They had two children, but their children have now left Princeton.
And you grew up in Princeton?
Yes.
Have you lived in Wisconsin your whole life?
Yes, indeed.
Now, could you tell me what country your father was from?
He was from Russia, the part of Russia near Poland.
And was that rural or was it an urban?
It was rural from what he told me.
Do you know what sort of work your grandparents did?
I think they were farmer types. And cattle dealers.
And where did your grandparents live? When did they come to this country?
Are you speaking of my maternal or paternal grandparents?
Okay, let's start with your paternal.
No, my father was the only member of his family to ever come to this country. That includes, he had several brothers, none of them ever came. He had one sister who died and for whom I was named, but he never saw any immediate members of his family after he left.
And none of them ever came?
None of them ever came. He made arrangements for his younger brother to come, but the immigration rules were such that it was impossible.
And what about your mother's family?
My mother's family, that was quite different. My mother was born in Stevens Point, Wisconsin, and I know her father was born in this country. I am not positive about her mother. Her mother was either born in this country or else in Austria-Hungary. And her mother was the housewife type, was not a professional woman. My maternal grandfather was a businessman in a variety of businesses. The one I remember most, he had a silk underwear factory in Chicago. But that was just one of his enterprises. He also owned farms in Wisconsin. Not that he farmed them. He owned them and rented them.
And did he go to school, business school?
If he did, I don't know about that. I don't know as to his formal education. I do not know.
And what about your father's parents?
My father's parents, I'm sure they did not. Even my father did not. I remember him telling me that they would get members of his family and even cousins together in their home, and it was like a tutor coming around to their home, teaching them at their home. So I don't know anything about what school was like. As I recall, they learn whatever they learn in their home. Somebody, a teacher coming to teach the family.
That was in the United States?
No, that was in Russia. When he got to this country as a young man, he went to night school in New York for a while. And that's when his name was changed from whatever it was, a Russian-type name, to Swed, because it was easier for the teacher to say.
And how did he come to settle in Wisconsin?
He had some cousins in Milwaukee.
Okay.
And I guess that they thought the business opportunities were better for him here.
And what sort of job did he start out with when he came to Wisconsin?
If he worked for one of the cousins in Milwaukee or not, I do not know. The first thing I remember him talking about doing was peddling wares, dry goods, staples, I'm trying to think if there was a word for things that they had. And he traveled with a horse and buggy from town to town, small towns, where people didn't have these products available to them, and people didn't go to shopping markets and things like that. And he actually stayed at farm homes overnight, and then went on to the next place, etc.
Did he do any dealing with stores, or did he just, he went to farmhouses?
To the best of my knowledge, it was just immediately to the to the people buying the material, not the middle person.
Do you know what the date was when he came to Wisconsin?
Oh boy, I would have to be guessing. Let's see, I think I was born 2.5 years after. Maybe it was either around 1912 would be a good guess. I would hope that maybe in some future time I can confirm that date.
Okay.
At this moment, I don't have the material because I do not also do not have his when he became a citizen of the United States. I can remember him commenting what a proud day that was in his life, and so that when he became a United States citizen. But those papers are elsewhere too, probably in Princeton, Wisconsin, maybe still in the bank there since he was connected with that bank. But I, at this moment, don't have access to those papers.
When you were growing up, did you see any of your relatives at all?
Yes. We went to Milwaukee from time to time, and we visited. He had at least I thought at the time she was elderly, she probably wasn't, an aunt and some cousins.
How often do you see them now?
Well, most of them have passed on, truth be told, because they were my father's age, vintage, and I never knew their children. As I might have mentioned, or maybe haven't yet, I had only one first cousin, because my father's family, immediate family, we never knew at all, and last we heard, they were all killed in the war, those who hadn't died before. And my mother had just one sister who had one child, so I had one first cousin, and so I had very, very few close relatives until I got married.
Let's talk about the community where you grew up a little bit.
Okay.
Could you describe the approximate size?
Oh, its population hasn't changed much over the years. It's around 1,000 or a little more, 1,200, 1,300 probably. It's a small rural-type community located on the Fox River in Wisconsin. It's about 70 miles due north of Madison. The population was comprised mostly of retired farmers, except for the few businessmen that were in the town. I would say it was almost half and half Polish Catholics and German Lutherans. A few Irish mixed in, but not many Irish Catholics. But
what did it look like?
What did it look like? It's a pretty little town. Because we still go there to visit. Its main street, which is called Water Street, which my father's store was located, and also as you go out a little farther, has a residential area. And one thing people always notice are the trees. Big trees that almost form an arch over the street because they come together.
Oh.
And so it was a typical small town, if one likes that. I mean, nothing of, no buildings of great art or anything, but just a nice residential small town. And the business area would have very few, maybe two general stores, a hardware store. One thing it did have was lots of taverns.
Okay.
But they were family-type taverns.
And were the other inhabitants of the town, do you know if they were first-generation Americans, second-generation, third?
Well, there were the older people might very well have come directly from Germany or Poland, but then there were some of that vintage, but then there were others who were the first families born in this country.
I see, and so most of them either were farmers or ran stores in.
Yeah, right. The small communities. I mean, there were no. It wasn't an industrial town, put it that way.
What sort of work did your father pursue?
Well, once he had the wherewithal to buy a store, and his very first store was not in Princeton. It was in Deerfield, Wisconsin, which is a small town closer to Madison. And that was before I was born, and I don't believe he was there long. Just how he arranged the capital for buying a store, I suppose it was through his peddling, and I think my mother's father probably helped to establish him in business, and an opportunity, a store became vacant, I believe that's the way it was, in Princeton, Wisconsin, and that's how, and there was one other Jewish family there at the time. I don't know if that had anything to do with his settling there, but I think that was the case, and he had a store there.
Do you know why he chose to open a store?
Well, I guess he thought that was one way he could make a living. Not having a professional education or whatever, but a feel for business. And I think he probably also felt that should he need it, he could get advice from relatives, say, in Milwaukee or relatives in New York.
How did he learn to run the store?
Self-taught, I'm afraid. I really don't know. I think it was rather intuitive. And he was good with dealing with the people there, because he could speak German and he could speak Polish. And I think that also helped.
Do you remember how many days a week that he would work on the average?
Oh, I certainly do. 7. I was born in a small house. My brother, who is a bit younger than I am, was born in a house too, but I don't remember ever living in a house. We lived above the store. So we were always, the family was always on call to work in the store when needed. We were open, the store was open for sure 6 days a week, including 2 evenings. Wednesdays and Saturday nights were big evenings. And we were always open Sunday morning after the various church services were open. That meant early Mass for the Catholics, the late Mass for the Catholics, plus the Lutheran Church. The store was always open after those. So it was a 7-day situation.
Did your father work at any other job besides the store?
Well, he got involved with being interested in investments and the bank. And so he was director of the bank, and he was finally the president of the bank. But one has to realize that president of a bank in a small town of Wisconsin is not the active kind of thing like a large bank in a big city. You conducted board meetings, and you went to meetings, and you helped to decide on how the bank spend its money, what it invested in, and so forth. But it wasn't a day-to-day, it wasn't a job for which you were paid a salary.
It was part-time.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was kind of honor status, and it was an advantage, I think, when you are in a store and in a bank. Sometimes opportunities arise where maybe the bank can't invest in something, but it might be good for, can't by its rules or regulations invest, but an individual could. So sometimes you could help maybe, say, a farmer who needed a loan but maybe didn't have the collateral needed for such a loan, but if someone knew that person and know perfectly well if they would repay it and all the rest, that person could have part in a personal loan rather than a bank loan, that kind of thing.
Was your father involved in any work cooperatives or work unions?
No, not at all, no. And if the store was, we always had, the employees were maybe 2 or 3 usually, sometimes one male, but usually women, who, and some of them were there for many, many years. I mean, they were employees of long standing. And I think the word union was almost foreign to us, and foreign to him too. You just didn't hear about it. These were people that were most grateful to have a job.
The employees, how were they paid?
I would guess they were paid probably weekly cash on a barrelhead. I think that's probably the way it was. Whether it was on an hourly rate or whatever, I haven't the slightest idea. I'm sure they were probably paid by the going rate of the times.
How many on the average employees did he have?
Probably 2. At most 3. Because my father and mother took almost no vacations. They were always there, and when the children were old enough, the children were, of course, also expected to work in the store. It was strictly a family affair.
What was the store like?
Well, if you've never seen one, it's almost hard to explain. It's a small town general store. Everything from groceries to yard goods that you measured out by the yard to a certain amount of women's clothes, shoes, quite a bit of shoes, and lots of men's work clothes in various and sundry sizes. He bought eggs from the farmers, which they could trade for toward their groceries, and there was one price when they traded for cash and a different price when they and it was the money went toward what they were purchasing.
Did he have set up a credit system, is that?
Well, his own system, which you mean, are you referring to a credit system for his customers?
Yes.
Yes, he had certain people he would trust, and there were nothing like the computerized credit systems, and there are no plastic cards or what. But some customers could run up a tab, as it were, and would pay monthly or whatever. Now, he had a charge business for some. But the funny thing is, the store was once called the Cheap Cash Store. Uh-huh. So that sort of denies what I'm saying. But nonetheless, there were people who did have charge accounts. I think it was done based on what he thought the reliability of the person was. Or maybe that family sent in one of the children to buy something, and without the money, you discharged it then to the parents' account, right. That sort of thing.
Was the building owned or was it rented?
His very first store, which I don't remember, might have been rented, but the store I remember was owned. As a matter of fact, it's still in the family.
Can you describe how the store, what function the store had in the community?
Well, for one thing, it allowed people to buy things that they couldn't buy unless they went, let's say, 35, 40 miles. I mean, the nearest big town was Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, or Oshkosh, Wisconsin, which was 35 or 40 miles. Also, people came, they chatted. It was a social thing also. Going to town to shop was probably a necessity, but it was also a form of sociability. People came and met there and talked. They wouldn't just buy the things and leave. You chatted with the people. You asked about their families. They asked about other people's families. It was much more than just straight business.
To what extent do you think that your father being able to speak Polish helped in the running of the business?
I think it helped. They felt more at ease, more at home with being there. They knew they could be understood. And the Polish people there, as I recall, most of them could also speak German. They might not be able to speak English too well, but if they could speak Polish, most of them could speak some German too. So the whole combination helped. I'm sure the situation has changed greatly over the years, because the next generations, of course, were different. And see, some of these people had backgrounds somewhat similar to my father's in that they did not have formal education. They came to the country with the same background, but from a different country.
What sort of work did your mother do?
My mother was primarily a housewife after the store was underway, but prior to that, she taught piano lessons on an individual basis. People came to our home to take piano lessons. Prior to that, she met my father because she went from town to town giving piano lessons at a regular, Miss Jones or whatever had piano lessons at, say, 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Wednesday. So at a certain town, now there were some of these small towns in Wisconsin, two names that I seem to remember. One was Elmond, Wisconsin. One was Plainfield, Wisconsin. And there were several, and maybe Wautoma, Wisconsin. There were several others that where she taught piano.
After they were married, did she ever work outside the house?
Not except for giving piano lessons, no. She did volunteer. She worked for the community, like she worked for the library, and she was very active in the women's club and things like that. But as for working professionally or career-wise, no.
Did she ever work in the store?
Oh, yes. Yes. Everyone in the Swed family worked in the store.
Besides having worked in the store yourself, did you ever get any other kind of job when you were growing up?
Not really, because I left Princeton, Wisconsin for all practical purposes when I was 16, I graduated in, I suppose, early June when I had been over 16 the preceding January. And then in the fall, I left to go to school. So, no, I did not.
Did you get a wage from your father?
No. It was expected that you work. You got a, and we didn't even have allowances. Those were not the, if you needed something, if you really needed something, he would see to it that you got it. I never even picked out my own clothes because he went to Chicago on buying trips. He would buy for the store and also buy for me. That even had to do, that was the way I got my college wardrobe and all the rest. So, and the, oh, and the, when the salesmen would come around, as they did in those days, I could pick my shoes from the shoe salesman, with from the samples, that kind of thing. That was a big day when some of these salesmen would come around and you could pick.
To what extent was education stressed by your parents when you were growing up?
Oh, utterly 110% all the time. I mean, you were expected to learn as much as possible. We were, we did a lot of, course, this was prior to TV. We read a lot. My mother, whenever we were ill, be it very ill or slightly ill, we always read to. One thing I remember very well, my mother, at a very early age, I learned the librettos of many operas because she was interested in music. So she read to me about things of that nature. And we would read as a family. My father, because of his lack of formal education, always often had my mother read to him because that's one way he learned English. And he liked to be read to. And there weren't the library left much to be desired. Our personal library was probably better than the city library, like we had complete works of Shakespeare and things like that. And I was expected to do very well in school. That was just taken for granted. And being the oldest, I sort of was expected to set a pattern.
And what were your parents' expectations of you in terms of your employment or your career?
They didn't have any, I think they thought I should be a teacher. Those were the days when teaching was considered, you know, a very honorable and reasonably well-paying profession. They always intended that I would go to college, and they always intended that I would go to the University of Wisconsin. That was a foregone conclusion. And so that my high school career was geared to that.
What were your own personal expectations?
Oh, I really didn't know. I think I was somewhat confused, not knowing what I wanted, except that I knew that I liked mathematics, and that to this day I don't quite know why.
Changing gears a little bit.
Sure.
You told me that your family was the only Jewish family in the community, and do you remember there being any other Jews in neighboring towns?
Very, very few, and they didn't seem to have any children that were our age. The closest thing we did was going to high holiday services in Oshkosh, which was 40 miles away, and we went to a very, very Orthodox synagogue, because that was my father's background, and I saw other Jewish children there, and none of us were allowed to go to school on the holidays.
Was Oshkosh the nearest temple?
Oshkosh or Fond du Lac, that they were about the same distance, but my father had a connection with Oshkosh. I guess he had a member, I don't know if they did it then by membership or whether it was just high holiday seats, one or the other.
Do you know what kind of work the Jews in the neighboring communities were involved in?
They would be similar to what my father had. They would be in small stores. Because there probably wasn't a Jewish community of any size closer than Oshkosh or Fond du Lac. And some of those were in bigger business adventures, maybe even some in manufacturing and things like that. But not the small towns.
What was it like being the only Jewish family in town?
I guess I didn't think about it terribly much when I was really, really young. But as I got to be older and in high school, I realized there were things going on that I did not participate in particularly. Most people were quite nice, but as I look back particularly at one picture, there were lots of blonde children, and there was a picture of a birthday party, and the only two children with dark hair in the whole picture were my brother and me. It was expected that I would not date anyone but a Jewish boy. So I dated no one, because there were no Jewish boys. Until I was 16, I would say that my social background was very, very, very limited.
What about when you came to the University of Wisconsin?
Well, it was expected that when I came to the University of Wisconsin, I would immediately gravitate toward the Jewish number of Jewish students, because there was reputed to be many of them. And I lived in the dorm. I lived in Barnard Hall for 4 years. There were some Jewish students there, but I felt nothing like, they were from large cities, and I felt very remote from them. And as a matter of fact, I was, if one can be an anti-Semitic Jew, and I guess one can, I don't, maybe the feeling wasn't that strong, but it was an uncomfortable feeling to me. They seemed so much more sophisticated, so much more, I guess they would say now, with it, than I was. Their backgrounds were much more college geared. Many of them were from the East, many New Yorkers. And I kind of sort of felt put down, and that I did not belong with them or the Christian community either. So I was kind of betwixt and between for a while.
How was your family accepted by the community?
Very well indeed. My father was interested in the community. My mother worked very hard for the community. And I do truly believe they were extremely well accepted. And I think that was evidenced when my mother died rather suddenly, and it was, the funeral was just, I mean, one could hardly realize how much people missed her and that sort of thing.
And in the work community?
The what community?
The work community.
Well, I don't know what the work community would be there.
Your father's business?
Oh, yes, yes. He was considered a good businessman and a very ethical businessman, not somebody that was trying to take advantage of anyone. No, he was well thought of.
You had also mentioned that itinerant rabbis came to town.
Oh, yes. Well, you see, when if they came through the town, where would they go? To whom would they speak? Where would they eat? And so forth. So they usually came, and many of them were coming to get funds. I mean, they were trying to raise funds for this, be it for Israel, be it whatever. And my father never, ever turned any of them away. I have no idea what the size of the amounts of money were concerned, or the magnitude thereof. But I can remember very well having them eat with us, and what a problem it was, because, needless to say, we didn't have a kosher house, and there was no way, even if we wanted to, there was no way. So I remember them eating eggs, lots of eggs, and I think they would eat the bread, and milk and things like that. Well, it would be the dairy-type food that they would eat.
Where were they coming from? What towns did they come from?
Well, I don't know if they emanated from Milwaukee. I would think maybe that was where their place from whence they started, and they were just touring Wisconsin or parts of Wisconsin to raise money for yeshivas, for various things.
How long would they stay generally?
Oh, maybe not many of them even overnight, but mostly just for the for a day, a meal or two, then they'd be on to the next place.
Would they ever perform any religious services when they came?
Not to my knowledge. I don't remember that at all. No, I do not.
So how often did your family attend religious services?
Twice a year, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Oh, I take that back. We had a Seder in our home. Because I remember the children were not allowed to drink the wine. And we didn't have grape juice. We had watered wine. We had the wine that was diluted. And it went on for hours and hours. My father did the full service.
How much of a part did religion play in your everyday lives in Princeton?
Very little. Very little, because it seemed artificial to me. I knew perfectly well that I was Jewish, that I would that would be my life, but I didn't understand it. Not having a religious education. And I think my father always felt badly about that. But he was very much afraid of moving to a large city. He didn't think he could hack it business-wise. He felt it was more important that he could support his family. But it always bothered him that we didn't get the Jewish education he would have wanted us to have.
Was your family at all active, or how active were they in local or national Jewish organizations?
Well, at that time, they They weren't, I don't believe, because it's a word I didn't hear much about it. Later on, as I grew up and became involved with things, I mean, like buying bonds for Israel, contributing to the Jewish appeal, all that sort of thing, yes, very much so. But once I belonged to a temple, they, even if they could only come for the holidays, they joined the temple immediately. They were temple members in Madison.
They belonged to the temple in Madison?
Yes, the one to which I still belong.
What about the temple in Oshkosh?
Once they met Rabbi Swarovski. Ah, there's the focal point right there. Then they thought that's where they wanted to belong.
What were your parents' expectations in terms of the religion of your future husband?
Well, it was taken for granted that if that would be, it would be a Jewish person. As a matter of fact, I think they rather subscribed almost to the way of someone finding, having somebody pick somebody for me. I mean, because a number of Jewish businessmen throughout the state were suggested to me as people that I ought to be interested in. That did not take well.
How were you expected to meet other Jews?
Well, if I came to Madison and there were other Jews, I would meet other Jews. I tried by going to Hillel, because at that time, it was not very active, and it certainly, I didn't feel comfortable. I went, but I didn't feel comfortable.
When was it that you began to feel comfortable again?
Oh, goodness. This, again, ties in with Rabbi Swarovski. So this was when I was, my goodness, how old was I? About 25. Because Rabbi Swarovski came to this community about 1940. And I can't remember exactly the first time I met him, but at that time we did not have a temple, and they were holding services in churches, various public buildings, and they were holding study groups in people's homes. And that's where I got the opportunity to attend some of these. And I was very impressed with my heritage, and felt like I really was glad to belong.
Do you feel that you're more or less religious than your parents were?
Different, rather than more or less. Now, my father's background, I know, was Orthodox or conservative, but he would rather go to a temple that his family went to. He would sublimate his feelings about that. And my mother, Jewish though her family was not brought up in a religious fashion at all. And I think, well, it depends on how you define religion. In my definition of religion, I think I was and am more religious.
How do you feel living and growing up in a small or non-existent religious community has affected your religious practices or beliefs?
I don't know if it's affected them anymore. It did. And so maybe they were late in learning, late in observing. But I don't think that inevitably it affected things. That it just, things were delayed. I did these things later than most people that would have been brought up in a Jewish, more Jewish type community. But I don't think it had a great deterrent. Maybe, because I think sometimes there are things that you learn when you are more adult or more understanding or more knowledgeable that may prove to be more meaningful than just doing things. If you can do them and understand them, which I think is what happened in my case.
Okay, that's all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else that I haven't asked you that you'd like to discuss?
You didn't ask me how I happened to marry a Jewish guy. Okay? And I think that was kind of accidental, really, because I met somebody that had a Jewish education, lived in Madison all his life, and I liked the way his family, how they practiced their Judaism, and all the rest. He wasn't a college graduate, though education meant a lot to him. And I was, I don't know, it was fate or whatever, but when I didn't go with lots of people. I went, when I was in college, I went with Jews, some Jews and some non-Jews, more people that I was in class with, that kind of thing. But he was the only one that really I was seriously interested in. So I just thought we'd add that. Because I was married in a Jewish ceremony, very small, but, and I can't help but repeat, if there is time, to saying how much Rabbi Swarczynski influenced my Jewish life, because he has been a part of every happy and every sad occasion and since I was came, I mean, be it weddings, he's done every funeral, every wedding, every baby naming, and so forth in our family. And so it's a very meaningful thing.
Okay.
All right.
Do you feel that your family's work ethic differed from that of the rest of the community?
In a sense, I think, because I think their aspirations and goals were a bit higher. It wasn't just a matter of day-to-day living. They really had goals for themselves, certainly had goals for their children. I think they wanted their children to be professional-type people, educated type people, and my father particularly because of his lack of education, and we saw he saw the value of it, that this meant all of everything. And I think I have mentioned to people that I never had to work going to college. Should I have decided to go to college for 10 years, some way, somehow, the finances would have been there, even though I went to school during the Depression, because he felt that this was probably one of the most important things there was in life, is to have his children well-educated so that their life would be broader and wouldn't have to worry where their work was. He felt he had to stay where he could make a living.
How do you feel that your education has helped you decide what to do with your career now?
Well, I guess I have a love affair with the University of Wisconsin. First years were difficult, but I felt that I learned a lot. I still in contact with some of the professors I had. I felt it was a good school, a good school for me, in spite of the fact that it was very difficult at first socially, being young and all the rest of it. And the idea of wanting mathematics was a good one for me. The idea of wanting to teach was a good one, even if I didn't develop into a regular teacher. I taught at West High School in Madison during the war and discovered that high school teaching wasn't what I really liked. I like the college level better, also like working with students one-on-one. And just how I got into tutoring, which is what I still do as a moonlighting job, is rather unusual, but I like it very, very much. I've met some fine people. It heightened my interest in athletics because I've been tutoring athletes for over 30 years. It has just been very, very good for me. And my brother and sister also came to the university. And so that I think now, if I went back to school, maybe someday I'll do it, I'm interested in law. And I think law and mathematics have more in common than most people realize. And I think if I went back to school or did it at an earlier age, I might be interested in taking law, whether it would be for a career or a profession, I don't know, but it just intrigues me.
Have you ever thought of going back to Princeton to live and to work?
No, I have not. I find it a fine place to visit for a day or so. It doesn't have enough there to interest me. I can look at the store where I live from a historical point of view, visit the family that's still in Princeton, but there's not enough there for me. It's relaxing, but I sometimes think that they are living differently, and I don't mean it in any sort of a bad way, but in a different age and in a different time than those of us who live in a larger academic community particularly.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
No, not particularly. I've enjoyed doing this. It's helped me to reminisce and think back about things that I haven't thought of, and I guess perhaps it's a good idea for people to do this from time to time.